Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to start this morning by reading from Exodus chapter 4. And I got to thinking about this. This wasn't part of my original studies, but I think Moses was a very curious person. You know, God asked him to do something for him. You know, he wanted him to do it. He asked him a very important task, but it seems kind of from Moses's perspective and from our perspective, what did it seem? It seemed impossible. It seemed like something, you know, it took, you know, more than one man to do. But God wanted Moses to lead his children out of Egypt. That's a hard task. That's a difficult task. And God calls all of his people to be leaders. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you are. If you're called by God, if you're one of God's elect, one of God's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by grace this morning, you're called by God to be a leader. Whether it's, you know, young kids can lead others to Christ in their you know, school rooms, or, you know, and they can lead by example that their parents are teaching them through the scriptures and things. You know, there's no excuse for us as God's people this morning not to be leaders in our homes, in our families, in our classrooms, in our job places, or wherever it might be. We're called to be leaders. And there's no excuses. And God called Moses to be a leader. God calls all of us to lead by example. He calls all of us to lead through the scriptures, through the word of God, through our faith. An understanding of that faith. The more we understand our faith, the more we read the Word of God, the more we are apt to stand for it and to protect it and to be guided by it. And Moses, here in Exodus 4, Moses was asked by God to lead his children out of Egypt. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." There's no excuse. How many times have I told myself, well, they won't listen to you. You're just a mere man. Maybe you don't have all the answers to all the questions. Maybe, you know, maybe you're not called to preach. Maybe you're not called to serve in a capacity of leadership in the church or wherever it might be. But God has called every one of us this morning to be a leader of some kind. And that calls us to what? If we're not strong in the faith, if we're not strong in the Word of God, if we're not strong in what God has told us to do, then we need to become strong. We need to become more adherent to the Word of God. He said, "Behold, they will not believe me." That was his excuse. They won't believe me. Have any of you ever gone out and said, "Well, I'm going to, you know, talk about Jesus. I'm going to ask." Well, they won't believe me. That's what our conscience says. That's what our mind says. That's what our heart says. They won't believe. What's the point? They won't believe this mere man, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord will not has not appeared unto thee. That's another excuse. A lot of, you know, we need men to rise up in the Baptist faith, in the Baptist church, to be men of God, to be pastors, to be leaders, to be teachers, to get organized in the Word of God, to get organized in the church, to be leaders of the church. Yet there's always that excuse that, you know, the Lord hasn't appeared unto thee. You know, people will say all kinds of things. But when God has called us to do a work, when God has called us, you know, there's no man that can stand in our way. God will make a way. There is a way. And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." He said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And, you know, we won't go through all this, but, you know, the Lord here was showing Moses that he was with him and that he had the power of God. And he was going to use that to show the Israelites and such and such and so on. But there, we'll skip down to verse 8. "And it shall come to pass, if they believe thee not, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they believe not also the two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water out of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." That was just proof that God was with Moses, that he was going to be with him through all these trials and all these circumstances, that he was going to use them in a mighty way. And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent." He was still trying to get out of it, wasn't it? He was fearful. He was afraid. He was worried that people wouldn't listen, that they wouldn't understand, that they would just call him just a mere man, right? He was just a mere man, just, you know, saved by the grace of God like everybody else is, the same way, saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, saved the same way. But, you know, he was worried that they wouldn't listen to him. We get in our own minds sometimes when we go, people won't listen. We don't know what God will use. That's the whole point. You know, cast down the rod because, you know, and all these miracles, you know, we may not be able to do these things, but God can do these things. We don't know what God's going to use or who he's going to call. But he said, "I am not eloquent, neither here and heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto my servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." I don't know. Maybe he had a small speech impediment. We don't know. Maybe he stuttered. I tell you what, I've listened to some evangelists and some preachers who are not eloquent of speech, but they could preach the word of God. They could reach down to the heart of the matter and touch your soul. Why is that? It's not the messenger, it's the message. It's not the messenger, it's not the eloquence of speech. Yes, the eloquence of speech sometimes keeps the audience awake. But when God intervenes, when God has reached and touched a heart, they listen. And they're attentive and they draw understanding. It's God that brings these things. That's what I'm getting to this morning. That's where I'm coming to my actual lesson. This is just a little piece of it. But I'm getting to the point that it doesn't matter who we are or how we say it. It's the message of Jesus Christ. It's not the one preaching, it's the sender. It's the sender of that message. Who is the sender of that message? The message is Jesus Christ this morning. The message is of Jesus and him crucified. We may be fearful. We may not be able to speak as eloquently as some people that are highly educated, you know, in their English language or whatever, but it's the word of God that touches, not the eloquence. Verse 11, "And the Lord said to him, Who hath made man's mouth?" And this is coming to the heart of it. Who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Who maketh all these creatures? Who maketh all these things? It is God that makes. I tell you what, you may not be eloquent of speech, but you might be able to relate to somebody who God's trying to reach, and he may use you in a special way. He may use your infirmity. He may use your handicap or whatever it is to be able to reach somebody. I mean, they go, you know what? He can't speak very good. He may not walk very straight, physically speaking, but that just shows our imperfection. It just shows that you don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. You don't have to be perfect to be saved. You know, people always say, you know, I got to get my life right first. You're never going to get your life right. You're never going to get your life right. People are, well, I got to get cleaned up. I can go home and start cleaning up my life. That's not how it works. When the Lord saves you by his grace, he shakes your life up. He cleans your life up. There's a true change. It's not just an outward change, it's an inward change. An outward change is expressed through the inward heart. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I tell you what, if we could just shut off that little part of our brain that says, I can't, I'm fearful, I'm afraid, the Lord would speak for us. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Can you imagine? I can almost be understanding of us as God's people being a little fearful, a little afraid. Imagine just talking directly with God Himself and still being fearful. The God of heaven telling you, I'm going to be your mouth. I'm going to be your lips. I'll be your tongue. I'll be your voice. You just go do it and just trust in me. Have faith in me. Can you imagine? Just got to be that much harder for us today, especially in the wicked world we live. And God gave him a man, didn't he? God gave him what he asked for. God will give us what we ask for. He will give us help in time of need. He'll give us, I've had situations in my life where I stood up for something I believed in, and I thought everybody was against me, and one man would stand up and go, I agree. I'm with him. Sometimes we think we're alone in the fight. Sometimes we think we're alone, but we're not alone. We're never alone. God sends that person. God will be with us. It doesn't matter. This lesson this morning is for encouragement for us as God's people, and I hope it does a little bit. We're like Moses today, living in a dark and evil world, fearful of what man might do unto us, fearful of persecution. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. That's what he told Moses, isn't it? What did he tell Moses? He said, I will be thy mouth. I will go with you. Why are you so worried? The God of heaven. Can you imagine taking your rod, throwing it down on the ground and becoming a snake? And he also asked him to thrust his hand in his side, pull it out. It was just white with leprosy. He turned that water into blood. Can you imagine performing all those miracles and still being afraid? I'm not criticizing anybody here this morning. We're only flesh. We're only human. We haven't seen these miracles directly ourselves. We haven't had God come down to us directly. We know we see through the Word of God. We use the eyes of faith. We haven't seen these signs like Moses did, and we it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be fearful, but we need to understand one thing, that it's an exercise of the heart. We need to exercise and practice those things. He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He will never fail thee nor forsake thee. We taught about this. I teach about this a lot, don't I? Like he told the three Hebrew children, whether in life, whether in death, he will not leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us. He will carry us out of this world. And he will be there to take us. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe him. He himself is there to take us home to glory. I think he's there when we leave this old body and we enter to that heavenly king. I believe he's with us the whole time. Of course, it's so instantaneous, This foundational verse spoken by Moses to the Israelites. Notice who's mentioned that. That was Moses. He's talking to the Israelites as they prepare to enter the promised land. Why? They were fearful of the giants. They were fearful of the armies that awaited them. They were fearful of all those things. This is the same Moses that was afraid to even speak. He grew up a little bit, didn't he? He grew up in the faith. He grew up encouraged by practice and exercising those things. Sometimes we're weak in areas. You ever been weak in an area and your boss or somebody say, you need to work in that a little bit. You ever have one of those meetings with your boss and says, you're great in all these things, but you need to work on your penmanship, or you need to work with your customer service skills. You can't talk to people. You're mean. Have you ever had a boss do that? Sometimes there's things in our faith we need to work on. And I think courage is one of those things we all need to work on this morning. The unwavering presence of God. Our courage is not based on our own strength. That's the thing we've got to understand. The Bible, if you read through the Bible, front to back, it's just full of courage and faith of God's men and women. It's amazing. If you read through the scriptures, just the faith and the courage that they had. You know, even to the point of death, a lot of them. Our courage is not based in our own strength, but on the promise of what? That He is with us and He will never leave us. That's what He said, isn't it? God can't go back on His word. He cannot break a promise. We get too carnal minded. We start thinking like we think. Well, God can't do that. He can't go against it. It would go against His holiness. He can't do it. It's impossible for God to go against His word. What is the foundation of our courage this morning? Faith. Faith is the substance that gives courage, and it gives courage its strength. The Bible defines faith as a complete trust and confidence in God. Even when we can't see the outcome, we can never see the outcome. I think we'd be amazed at the outcome if we would only trust and obey. If we could actually just close our eyes and take that leap of faith, I think we would be amazed and surprised and happily a lot of times at what our faith would accomplish. Hebrews chapter 11. I have some of these wrote down so we could go through them quickly. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Sometimes we start thinking faith, well, that's got to be some kind of evidence of faith. I got to be able to see something. No. Moses seen it, didn't he? He still was weak. Moses seen it. A lot of the men of old seen their faith become sight. They seen those miracles. They seen, we get after Israel, but they've seen the parting of the Red Sea. Can you imagine seeing that and Moses striking that rock and the water flowing out, the manna from heaven, can you imagine, and still not having faith? My point is this morning is we are weak. We haven't seen these things. But we have the Word of God that enlightens us and gives us the strength that we need. Without this foundational trust in God and His promises, His character, and His power, our courage would quickly falter. It's because we believe He is who He says He is. That's how we can ever dare to be brave and courageous. You know, the same faith. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, the same faith that saved you is the same faith. Do you believe in eternal security this morning? You believe that God in His everlasting love and His mercy toward us will carry us through to the bitter end, through to the end till the day we die? Do we believe that this morning? Then why is that not the same God that will protect us and be with us no matter what? Where is our courage this morning? It's a little bit misplaced faith sometimes. We start having faith in man. We have faith in politics. We have faith in friends. We have faith in the church. We have faith in this. We have faith in that. But we forget that our foundation, or our faith, is Jesus Christ. I was talking to Christopher the other day. He was talking about trusting people. I said a lot of people have a lot of misplaced trust and faith. The Bible says, you know, don't place your faith in man. Don't place your, you know, faith. Put your faith in the one who can accomplish those things that He says He can do. Because if God says He can do it, He can do it. Courage is faith in action. Courage is the outward expression of our inward faith. It is the active choice to obey God's commands and stand for His truth, regardless of the opposition or personal cost. Standing for Christ will cost you. And that is another promise. When you're saved by the grace of God, nobody, unless you're some false religion, buttercups religion, and says that, you know, all this prosperous religion, you know, you saved by the grace of God, He'll prosper, He'll bless you. Yes, He can, but He also said you will suffer persecution. You will suffer persecution. That's also a promise. He'll bless you for it, yes. whether here or in heaven with the glorious blessings of God, you know, what I always tell my kids, they ought to want and love to hear their parents say, "You did a great job on that lawn. You did a great job." What is the most important thing, the most desirous thing that a Christian should have is to hear Jesus Christ, God Himself, saying, "Welcome in, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant." Joshua chapter 1, you too, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Why? Because the enemy is at hand. And if we don't think that our world is against God, and we don't think our nation is against God, if we don't think that our surroundings and those people out in the world are against God, then we're sorely mistaken and we got our blinders on. The world does not love God. The world hates God. It's at enmity with God. "Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest." You know, there's a lot more. You know what the problem is? You know what's the problem with us this morning? We're looking on the worldly goods. We're looking on worldly success. We're looking on the things of this world. We're not looking on the things of God. We're not looking on the things of spiritual minded. We're not looking to build the kingdom of God. We're not looking at the heavenly kingdom. We're worried about this worldly, old worldly, filthy, corrupt kingdom that's going to fade away. You know, we may not prosper in this world as far as wealth. We may not ever see wealth in this world. But I tell you what, we ought to be concerned about prospering in the kingdom of God. We ought to be worried about serving Christ, helping others, leading others to Christ, doing those things that we can do to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be the utmost importance. That's what it says there, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. And if we had our mindset on the heavenly, what would that prospering be? Seeing souls saved by the grace of God, seeing the church grow, seeing missionary works done, seeing, you know, things in this world change for the glory of God. That would be what prospering would be. We're too worried about our pocketbooks and our fineries and our garbage to worry about, you know, that's where our carnal mind goes, "Well, you shall prosper." Well, the Bible says you shall prosper. I did all these good things and all these people were saved, but where's my pockets? I don't have nothing in them. Well, it's because you're not looking on the heavenly things. That's where people get this foolishness. I believe God does bless His children. Don't get me wrong. We are, but we look at blessings differently. We look at blessings differently. You can be in the utter gutter and the Lord saves somebody by the grace and it would bring you the most joy. At least in my opinion. If I was down and out and I was in a situation of poverty and the Lord would save the next man, the man next to me because of my faith, that would be more important than all the silver and gold that I could acquire. Where is your heart at? Where is your soul? Where is your mind? God commanded Joshua here to be courageous in order to be what? Obedient. Because God said, go. God said, do it. He said, "I will help you. I'll be with you. I will bless you. I will give you the courage. I will give you the faith. I will give you everything you need." He just tells us to do it. God commanded Joshua to be courageous in order to be obedient. True biblical courage is rooted in the commitment to follow God's word no matter the circumstances. Well, I may be shot at or I may be mocked. Man, that's the minimum amount that you might receive is mockery. I may be mocked for my faith. I may be blasphemed. I may be, you know, brought down. I may whatever. But at what cost to our own soul? The Bible is filled with stories of just ordinary people who through their faith were empowered. They were empowered. They didn't have any abilities at all. Now, I think we're going to get to it in a second. But David, when the giants, there, mocked the armies of Israel. It made him mad, though, didn't it? You're just a young boy. I tell you what, as a young man, you can look out in this world and see people mock God, this and that. You can get mad. That's good. It's a righteous indignation. But it was the young David, the shepherd boy, who stepped forward. His courage. I want you to know the courage that he had wasn't in his ability. Now, I know he practiced. I know he killed, you know, the bears, and he killed all those things that came after his sheep. But his courage was not in his ability. What was his faith in? The unwavering faith in God, that God of Israel. That's the same God we serve today. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 says, "Then said David to the Philistine." I want you to hear the words that David spoke. "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." This morning, this old wicked world has defiled the God of Israel. That same God that they mocked then is the same God they're mocking now. "Whom thou hast defied." What was David's perspective? It was fixed on God's power and not the giant's size. This is often referred to, you know, it's the giants in our life and the giants and the circumstances that come our way and how we can stand and face them giants on the power and the faith that God has given us. This is the instance of faith-filled courage. Daniel, an uncompromising conviction, even when faced with a decree that meant certain death in the lion's den, David's faith did not waver. He chose to obey God rather than man, demonstrating a quiet, resolute courage. You know, I tell you what, I don't ever think, I'm sure these men had a certain amount of fear. They were scared. But God gave them courage. Their faith gave them courage. Daniel 6:10 says, "Now when David knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house as soon as they signed it." As soon as he knew that they signed it, what he said, "I'm going to do what God told me to do." Now, some people today, the media would go, "Well, he was just taunting. He did that deliberately. He deserved it. He was trying to get." He deliberately did that so they would take him and throw him in that lion's den. That's what they would say today. He went into his house. He opened his windows. He didn't close those windows, did he? He didn't close those windows and scowl under his bed and start saying his bedtime prayers. No, he opened the windows toward Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Why did he open his windows toward Jerusalem? He was praying for God's people. He was praying for courage for every single one of those Israelites that were going to have to face the same consequences he knew he was going to have to face for his faith. Because he knew that they would. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't change his attitude. He didn't change his ways because of man and the discouragements. If we live long enough, if God does not come back, it's imminent. It will happen. It will happen in this country. It will happen. Why is that? Because God promised that too. It will wax worse and worse. This world will wax worse and worse. It will come to that point, you know, outside of Christ coming back, taking his children out of here. He did promise that as well. It will wax worse and worse. And he gave thanks to his God. His courage was a product of his consistent relationship with God. If we're consistent in our relationship with God and our love and our obedience, you know, you wonder why some people have faith and have so much courage sometimes. It's because they put it into practice. You know, the more you practice something, the better you get at it. You know, the more you start talking to people about your faith, the more, you know, courage that you exhort, the more things, the more courage that you have. It's like standing before people and singing and playing or speaking. When I first did, you know, a college thing and I got before people, I was nervous as butter. I tell you what, I melted it. You know, you're shaky, you're nervous, your lips, you know, a little dry. And, you know, but I tell you, you do it enough times, what happens? You get braver, you get more courage built up because you start to, you know, that's the same way it is with our faith. If we put it to practice, if we put it to practical use every day, it starts to get easier. It starts to get easier to stand up for what you believe in. And that's what Daniel did here. He was consistent in his faith. Their faith was in God himself. Whether he chose to deliver him in this life or the next. Our call to faith and courage, God's call to be strong and courageous. It extends to every believer. He knows the fears we face. The fear of the future. Fear of failure. Fear of what others might think. His answer to our fear is always himself. That's the thing. We can't trust in ourselves. We got to trust in the Lord. That's why that song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That goes for every aspect. The antidote to fear is God's presence. Through Scripture, the command, fear not, it's a command, fear not, is almost always followed by the reason, for I am with thee. God never tells us to do or ask anything of us that we can't accomplish or do. We can't do it in our own strength, our own might, but we do it through faith in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I tell you what, have you sat down and actually thought how great of a God we have and go, why am I afraid? Why am I not courageous? What's my problem? What's my deal? I serve the Almighty God. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness. What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is his holiness. The righteousness of God is his inability to go against his own nature. And we can count on God this morning to keep every one of these promises right here. Fear not, he says, I am with thee. Be not, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Every single one of those are a promise, and we can stand on those today. I may fail you. The world will fail you. Everybody in this world is going to come to a point of weakness, and people, we're all human and we do fail each other. Did you pray for me last night? You said you were. No, I forgot. Well, that's fine. You know, we're human. We forget. But God never forgets. We're in a situation in our life, I can guarantee you, according to the word of God, according to the right hand of his righteousness, he will not go back on his word. He will. Courage this morning is a gift from God. I tell you what, it seems like sometimes it comes easy with some people, doesn't it? Some people are really good. I've met some people in my life, I tell you, they're outgoing. They can go up and talk to somebody and just start talking about Jesus and interact with people and have this courage, they have this ability to talk to people. That's what Moses was saying. I don't have that. God says, you have the ability to have all that because I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will give thee aid. If you would just take me up on my, you know, what I've told you to do. Fear not this morning. Courage is a gift from God. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. Sometimes we just close our eyes and do it. Like my test the other day, I just closed my eyes and I clicked it. Sometimes it's all you need. It's just click it, courage. We're not expected to generate courage on our own, is what I'm saying. When we feel weak, When we feel weak, what we talked about last Sunday, when we are weak, what happens? God is made manifested. God is made manifested. And that's the whole point. We want God to be made manifested. We are weak, but when we are weak, He is made strong. Through our weakness, Christ and His glory and His power through our faith is made manifested. That's the whole point. We're not supposed to be, you know, college educated and the finest speakers and this and that. God didn't call a lot of those men, did He? He called a lot of brother bombers, a lot of redneck hicks from the back sticks of Kentucky and West Virginia and other places. He calls people from all areas of life to follow Him and to become leaders. They're not all educated. There's very few, and the ones that are doctors are usually heretics. You know, they're not really doctors at all. They're not doctors of nothing. But God calls the man. God calls the preacher. You know, you can go to seminar, you can go to college, and I tell you what, I've no offense, but I've heard some preachers and teachers from these so-called colleges, and I don't give 2 cents for their teaching style, and it's mostly man-made stories and this and that. A lot of it's not made. It comes from the scriptures and those types of things. But I tell you what, when a man is called of God and he gets a hold of the word of God, God uses that scripture. God uses that word, and it becomes a fire in the bones. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind." Praise God for sound mind. The mind to be able to discern the word of God and understand it, and the ability to use it and to outreach and outpour with it. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the faith and the spirit of courage to rise up against the wiles of this wicked world, but of power. Imagine the power that Moses had. I'm not talking about the miracles that he worked. God did work through him that way, but imagine the power that God gave Moses to be able to lead such a rebellious nation too, of all things, a rebellious nation. It takes a special person to adopt kids and foster kids. It takes a special person to do that kind of stuff. I tell you what, it takes a special person. And God has given every one of us that ability this morning to be leaders. He's given us that sound mind. In conclusion, faith and courage are not for spiritual giants alone. For every child of God is willing to take Him at His word. Take Him at His word. Take God for His word. What He says is true, and He will give you that courage. He will give you that ability, and you will be surprised. You will be amazed. And I tell you what, when you are persecuted, you won't be surprised there either, because God promised that too. But we'll be encouraged. We'll be glad. You know, Paul was glad to be persecuted for the cause of Christ, wasn't he? Why? Because he had a clean conscience. And he knew he was serving Christ in the manner of which was correct. Because when you do it correctly, when you serve God correctly, when you go out and you witness, and you will be persecuted. And that's what he was glad for, because he was doing, you know what they say, if your kids hate you, then you're doing something right. You know, when the world hates you, then you're doing something right. And then I don't know about hate. Hey, that's a strong word. But courage is the choice to step out of the boat, to face the giant, to stand for truth when it is unpopular and unsupported. All because of faith. All because our faith is firmly planted in the character of our unchanging God, who calls us to be courageous. The same God who calls us to be courageous is the same God who parted the Red Sea, who delivered Daniel from the lions, who conquered death itself there on the cross of Calvary. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. If we die here, we're going to be risen again. If we die here, it's very small consequence. As I was listening to something the other day, he said, what happens when you die? You go to your funeral, people will come to your funeral. They'll cry for about, 5 hours. You know, the funeral's over. Everybody starts smiling at the concessions, start laughing, thinking about good times, making jokes even, having fun. You know, it's just death. After death is what matters. What we do for Christ is what will last. Therefore, let us heed His command today. It's a command of God to be courageous. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. Be ready to answer every man according to the word of God." It doesn't say quit. Quit means to be quick. To be available, to be made available, to serve God in any capacity. Somebody said the other day, or this has been said before, it said, be careful when God says, when you ask God to use me. Here I am, Lord, use me. Because God will take you up on that request. God will take you up on it. He will use you, and He ought to use every single one of you here this morning. Saved by the grace of God, you should be used of God, because that's what He called you to do. Be courageous. Go to school. Go to work. Go wherever you are. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what He told you to do. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be ready. Be ready. And be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous. Why? I tell you what. I like that sermon on I am. I am hath sent me. People say, well, what under what authority do you preach the gospel? What other authority do you teach me about Jesus Christ? Because the I am. Because the I am. You know, you're saved by the grace of God. You've been anointed by God, by the great I am, to preach this gospel, to teach this gospel. You've been anointed by God Himself. Why is that? Because He commanded every one of His elect, saved by the grace of God this morning, to go throughout the world preaching and teaching the gospel to every creature. That is the commission to the church. That is the commission to God's people this morning. As God's people and as God's church, we need to rise up and take hold of our responsibility. It's our duty this morning to rise up and to preach the truth. Preach and correct. I like that thing with Charlie Kirk. He said, you know, God doesn't tell us just to be courageous and to teach and all those things. He tells us to rise up and to stand up for the faith, to stand up for the truth, stand up for the things that are wrong. He doesn't say, when things are wrong, when things come flying at us that are wrong, that we should cower, we should stand up and say something. We should have the courage to go against those things. It's not wrong. That's what some reason we've got in this mind that it's wrong for us to say something. It's wrong for us to say something against homosexuality and this transsexual garbage and the abortion and all these things. And as God's church, unfortunately, a lot of them cowered under the pews. God has called us to correct. And I heard a lot in Charlie Kirk's memorial about Jesus Christ, and somebody posted on the live thing, what about repentance? What about repentance? You know, I hear a lot of this, you know, easy believism and all this stuff. What about repentance? Where is repentance? Where is getting on our hands and knees and repenting for our sins? And I appreciate, I forget which one it was that got up and actually said that you need to repent. You need to repent. You know, repentance is part of salvation. Repent. You know, why do I have to repent? You know, because when God brings us to the realization that we're lost on our way to hell, we realize what? That we're sinners and we need a Savior and we need to repent. You know, we don't need to repent if you're not a sinner. You know, repent if you don't need that. You see that you need a Savior. I've never done anything wrong. Why should I apologize? Why should I repent of anything? I've never done nothing wrong. When God brings you to a realization that you're lost in your sin, you repent to a righteous and holy God. You know, we know that's what somebody said years ago when we first started the mission. One of our pastors that we had in at one of our things said he appreciated our pulpit because it had all the other stuff, but it also had repent on the front of it. Because that's the people gotten rid of the repentance. Being sorry for your sins. There's no salvation without being sorry for your sin. This nation needs to repent. God's people need to repent. You know, this world needs to repent. Without repentance, there is no remission. We need to repent, fall on our knees and pray and ask God for His forgiveness of our failure and our lack of courage and faith and to pick up that cross. That's what that cross is. That's what it says, pick up that cross. That's the cross of faith and courage. That's something we have to bear and carry every day. Because as God's people, we can't just sit idly by and watch people mock Christ and mock His church and mock everything we stand and believe in. Dad, can you just miss it?